بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. We've been studying based on the Quran and Hadith, what type of life we can achieve if we appreciate the life in this dunya, the worthy life, hayat dunya, that Allah has given to everyone. If we appreciate and use it in the right way, with the right orientation in our life, what can we achieve? And we talked about the higher level of life, which is the life of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the life of light. And we said this hayat at-tayyibah is totally different. It's totally new life on top of the physical life that everyone can experience. Last night we talked about remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we discussed Sermon 222, which in English translation it is 220, and we saw how Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam explained the function of dhikr, and how those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they themselves become light for other people, sources of guidance and inspiration for other people, and how they make people able to listen, to see, to understand. And now we want to see how we can gain that quality of remembrance of Allah. And inshallah, gradually also we are trying to understand better the concept of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First of all, I'd like to start with two hadiths from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man ata'a Allah faqad dhakara Allah wa in qallat salatuhu wa siyamuhu wa tilawatuhu. Whoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if his prayer and fasting and recitation are not that many. You remember I said, you cannot judge about who remembers Allah by looking at their actions. Those who remember Allah, they have good actions, but those who have good actions may not necessarily remember Allah, because this is just the physics of good action that they have. They have salat, but not remembrance. They have fasting, but not remembrance. So you cannot judge based on what you see, what their body is engaged in. The key is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man ata'a Allah faqad dhakara Allah. Of course, this ta'a or obedience is a result of remembrance, because remembrance is to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to open yourself to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to yearn for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the result is obedience. وَمَنْ عَسَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ نَسِيَ اللَّهِ. And if someone disobeys Allah and commits a sin, it shows that he has forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A mu'min cannot commit a sin unless at that time he is heedless. He is forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have the state of dhikr, you cannot disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ عَسَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ نَسِيَ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ كَثُرَتْ صَلَاتُهُ وَسِيَامُهُ وَتِلَاوَتُهُ لِلْقُرْآنِ. Whoever disobeys Allah has forgotten Allah, even if his prayer and fasting and recitation of the Quran are many. If your prayer does not stop you committing sin, this is not an act of remembrance. Because inna salata tanha anil fahsha wal munkar. If you have salat but still you commit sin, it means that this salat is fake. It looks like salat, but it's not salat. It's dead. There's no life. The same is with fasting, the same is with recitation. So remembrance is something that is difficult for us to judge. It's in the heart of people, deep in the mind of people. You cannot easily understand who is in the state of remembrance. You cannot say, for example, he's, holding a tasbih, he's, moving his lips with la ilaha illallah, so he's certainly in the state of remembrance. In another hadith, which is a conversation between Rasulullah and Amirul Mu'mineen, it was a will, a wasiyah, advice for Amirul Mu'mineen. Rasulullah said, Ya Ali, thalathun la tutiquha hadhihil ummah. There are three things that this ummah are not able to maintain. Maybe individuals, but as a whole, it's very rare quality, and you cannot find it that Ummah is going to practice this. What are those three? Salat, alhamdulillah, millions of people say salat. Hajj, millions of people. Everything, you see, mashallah, many. What are those three things? Thalathun la tutiquha hadhihi al-ummah. Al-muwasatu lil-akh fi malih. The first thing is to share with their brothers and sisters what they possess. This is very difficult. Even giving zakat or khums is easier. Because you say, okay, this is what I have to give. But to feel honestly that your brothers and sisters share with you your possession, this is easy. This is not easy. This is very difficult. Allah says, Mu'mineen are those people that in their money, in their possession, there is a right, a fixed right for the people who are needy. Fi amwalihim haqqun lis-sa'il wal mahroom. Now, many people are happy to give, but they are not happy to say that you share. Even some people are hesitant to say to their wife or children or husband that you share with me. What we have is for all of us. They say, we give you, but don't think that you share. I am just doing a favor for you. But this is not muwasat. Muwasat is that what Allah has given me has given for all of us. And we all benefit. Maybe actually because of you, Allah has given me. Because of my wife and children, maybe Allah has given me. Not it was for me. If you understand and appreciate, then you become a channel of mercy of Allah. Through you, Allah can distribute His mercy. Otherwise, you become manna' lil khair. You will block the mercy. No mercy would come to you and no to other people. So the first thing that the ummah, Rasulullah said, in general, as a whole, would not be able to do is al-muwasatu lil-akh fi malih. Second, wa insafun nas min nafsih. Very, very difficult. to be fair between you and other people. This fairness is very important. It's a sign of being a real mu'min, but it's very rare to find this fairness. Sometimes I mention this example. I say, if you want to understand, what does fairness mean? It means that whenever there is a dispute, a disagreement between you and someone else, you are judging between you and the other person without taking your own side. How difficult it is. You know, if you go to a court and you see the judge is the person that with whom you have the case, you are not going to accept the court. Even if that judge is very good, you say, he is going to take the side of himself. Even if he's a relative or a friend of the person that has case with you, you say, I don't want to accept this. But now, why you accept your judgment about other people? Why when you have difficulty with your husband, with your wife, with your colleague, with your partners, with your neighbors, with your brothers and sisters in faith, why you rely on your judgment? This is not a fair court, because you are the judge and also you are one side of the case. If you give the right to other person, so there is a chance that maybe this is a just judgment. But if you think that you are right, you can be 99% that this is not a fair judgment, because you are yourself the judge. How many people you know that they are able to acknowledge their guilt, their fault? They have a problem, maybe, an argument at home. Then they go to their wife or husband, they say, sorry, I was mistaken. I reflected and I realized that you were right and I was wrong. Again, next day this may happen. No hesitation. I go and again, I apologize. How many people are like this? Once I asked the brothers and sisters, when was the last time that you admitted you made mistake? When was the last time that you really sincerely apologized? Maybe every few months, once it happens, maybe every few years. Yes, as a formality, sometimes we say, sorry, forgive me, but honestly, in your heart. So why this is the case that we always, or 99% of the time, we think we are right? It's because, unfortunately, we don't have that fairness. What is the relation with this fairness and your relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that we need to discuss in another time. But very briefly, fairness is a quality that lets you to acknowledge the truth which is involved in this case. And if you are a servant of Allah, you would acknowledge the truth no matter whether you are on the side of truth or the other party. But if you think that you are the truth and everyone has to serve you, this shows that you are not a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think that you are God. You think that everyone must adapt himself or herself according to your decision. This is shirk. So this is the second quality. The third thing that Rasulullah said this ummah in general cannot cope with is وَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ حَالٍ. To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all circumstances. In all circumstances. Then Rasulullah himself clarified, وَلَيْسَ هُوَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. When I say to remember Allah, I don't mean just to say these important invocations. These are very important. And as much as you can say these words and invocate them, they are very important. I'm not underestimating the fact that people repeat these words. But I'm saying that repeating these words is in order to make them penetrate into our heart. These words, when they come to your tongue, they are indeed knocking the door of your heart. Please open the heart. Don't keep them outside. Sometimes, you know, we don't let these zikrs to go inside. So we just say. Sometimes even we say these zikrs so quickly that even if someone is next to us, you know, doesn't understand what we are saying. After salat, you know, taqibat, sometimes we so quickly, you know, we don't understand that remembrance is something that cannot be rushed. Remembrance is something that has to be with a slow pace so that it goes to the heart. So Rasulullah said, "Laysa huwa subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar." Walakin. So what is the zikr? It is the zikr. إِذَا وَرَدَ عَلَى مَا يَحْرُمُ عَلَيْهِ. When he is faced with a situation that there is something which is haram, a haram to do, a haram to eat, a haram to touch, a haram to smell, a haram to say, خَافَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عِنْدَهُ وَتَّرَكَهُ. You immediately remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you feel that there is such respect for Allah and such awe for Allah, such khashya for Allah, such fear for Allah in your heart that you cannot commit the sin. This is zikr. But if we commit sins and we think that we are remembering Allah, this is not possible. What beautifully is explained in this ayah is the state of mu'mineen when they are faced with haram. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Those who are pious means those who have already built for themselves a life of piety, a life of remembrance of Allah, a life of awareness and consciousness. إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. When a group of Satans, you know, Satan has allies and friends and helpers, human beings, jinns, there are shayateen al-jinn wal-ins, they are in different relations with people. Some people, they are already with them, so they have no worry about them. Actually, they give them responsibilities, they give them missions. You are accepted as a shaitan, go and misguide people. This is one scenario. So they are working for shaitan. Some people are not working for shaitan, but they have been very obedient. So they don't need to try hard to misguide them. They just call them and they come. Like the story that you have heard about the person who had a dream of shaitan in the time of Sheikh Ansari rahmatullah alayh. And he saw that shaitan has different ropes and chains. Some are very thin, some are very thick. And then he was making a chain ready and it was, you know, broken. And then he was again, you know, repairing. So he asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I am trying to chain up Sheikh Ansari," but he rebels. He doesn't listen. Said, "What are these other ropes and chains?" He said, "This is for different people. For some people, a thread is enough. For some people, a rope. For some people, chain." Sheikh Ansari even breaks the chain. So he said, which one is the one that you use for me? He said, for you, I don't use any of them. I just call you. And you come quickly. These are for the people who are resistant. So, Shaitan with some people is 100% relaxed because they have worked for him. For some people, is relaxed because they are obedient. For some people, Shaitan has no hope. Shaitan is hopeless. And those are mukhlasin. That Shaitan even doesn't try to misguide them. لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَسِينَ. Under mukhlasin, we have muttaqin, pious people. Pious people, Shaitan very much tries to take away their taqwa from them. They are main challenge for Shaitan. Because they resist and they want to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Shaitan doesn't say, this person has been living as a pious person 10 years, 20 years, so we leave him. No. Till the last moment of your life, Shaitan still tries to damage. So they are going around, this shayateen. They are not stationed, fixed with muttaqin. Because muttaqi is obeying Allah, is remembering Allah, and Shaitan goes away. But these shayateen go around. There are like patrols. They go around. See who is heedless. Who is ghafil. As soon as they see you are ghafil, then they attack. So when they attack, if you remain ghafil, you would follow them and obey them. But if all your life you have been trying hard to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as soon as a satanic touch comes, you realize, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. When they touch them, they're not going to be with them all the time and permanently. They just go around, and when they see this person is heedless, they attack. But as soon as they hit them and touch them, تذكروا. They become alert. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Then they can see this is Shaitan. If you are not alert, you may think this is a friend. Oh, this is my classmate. This is my colleague. This is my cousin. Not knowing that this is Shaitan now using this person. But a muttaqi quickly becomes alert and says, no, this is not right. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. So, the people who are in the state of remembrance of Allah, even if for some time, for short time, they are not alert, when the satanic touch comes, they become alert and they can see the realities. So, these are some hadiths about the nature of dhikr. Much to be said, inshallah, maybe in coming nights we can explain further. Now we want to see how we can achieve and maintain this state of dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the things that can be stopping us from remembering Allah, and what are the things that can help us in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? First of all, there are things that are obstacles. There are things that stop you remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you have excessive love for dunya, and dunya preoccupies your mind, then you cannot remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is a fact that مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنَ فِي جَوْفِهِ. We have not been given two hearts. We have been given only one heart.
If you put in your heart dunya, then your heart cannot contain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cannot be a place of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me tell you a secret. Anything other than Allah, when you put in your heart, it would not let other things to come to your heart. But if you put Allah in your heart, Allah expands your heart, then you can put everyone else in your heart under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can love all people for the sake of Allah. You can love all children, not only your children, for the sake of Allah. But if you put, for example, money in your heart, then you don't even love your children. When a time comes that for your children you have to lose your money, you don't do it. If you put, I don't know, one person in your heart, then you don't have love for other people. But if it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then under Allah and through Allah and for the sake of Allah, you can love everything and everyone. So it's impossible to give your heart to dunya and then expect to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not possible. This is a general principle that we have to observe. And in our Quranic verses, in our hadith, we have many cases about the people that have given their heart to dunya and then they have forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have forgotten the hereafter. Maybe if inshallah I get chance, I will mention some of these verses. But what I want to especially talk today, because it needs maybe whole session tonight and maybe even tomorrow, is that there is something which helps a lot in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is something which helps in getting rid of hubbu dunya, hubbu shahawat. There is a secret. There is a key for success. There is something that unfortunately today we tend to forget. We don't appreciate that much. There is something that many people today tell us, you should forget it because then you cannot enjoy your life. What is that? That is remembrance of death. Remembrance of death is something like magic. Remembrance of death can evaporate any attachment to dunya. It's very, very powerful. Let me read for you some hadith so that you see how powerful is remembrance of death. And then inshallah you can understand why Quran so much emphasizes on remembrance of death. Abu Ubaidat al-Hadha, Hadha means the one who was selling or making shoes. So Abu Ubaid al-Hadha, you know, these were nice people. They had business, but they were also learning. They were students. So I don't know why some people think that when they work, they cannot be students and they cannot learn. This is a shoekeeper or I don't know, shoe seller. And he was also a narrator. قلت لأبي جعفر عليه السلام حدثني بما أنتفع به. Please give me a hadith, speak about something that I can benefit. فقال يا أبا عبيدة أو أبا عبيدة أكثر ذكر الموت. Try to remember death. فإنه لم يكثر إنسان ذكر الموت إلا زهد في الدنيا. No one is remembering often death unless he would be able to reduce the love for dunya. He would be able to detach himself from dunya. Zahida fi shay means having no interest. Zahida fi, like for example, Allah says about brothers of Yusuf. وشروه بثمن بخس دراهم معدوده وكانوا فيه من الزاهدين. They sold Yusuf with just few coins and they didn't have interest in Yusuf. They thought, you know, they have something that they have to get rid of it. So زهد في means to have no interest, no attachment. Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, if you want a good advice that can benefit you, try to remember death as much as possible. Of course, as we will explain inshallah, remembrance of death, if it is done properly, will make you more active. Some people think, if I remember death, I become, you know, depressed. I cannot go to work. No, no, this is wrong. This is false. Proper appreciation of remembrance of death makes you more active, because then every second of your life becomes important for you. If you, by remembering death, you become inactive, it means that your approach is wrong. In another hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam quotes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. من أكثر ذكر الموت أحبه الله. Whoever remembers death frequently, Allah will love him. Why Allah loves him? Because he becomes lovable. It's not, you know, by chance. It means that he becomes a good person, a person that would be loved because of the merits. A person called Abu Basir, you know, Abu Basir is a famous narrator. He says, Shakawtu ila Abi Abdullah alayhi salam al-waswas. I made a complaint to Imam about my waswas. You know, there are some thoughts, some ideas coming to your heart, your mind, which disturb you. It can be a doubt about God. It can be a doubt about some people. It can be doubt about, you know, your actions. So something that is not leaving you. You cannot get rid of this waswas. So he said, I made a complaint. Oh, Imam, I have this problem. Please help me. Many people who have problems with, I don't know, family, with community, with friends, with job, even people who have some, I don't know, kind of depression, people who are not feeling happy and satisfied, they should listen to this hadith carefully. You don't need necessarily medication. Sometimes maybe you need medication, but this is the best medication. This is the Allah's medicine. He says, I made this complaint to Imam. فَقَالَ يَا أَبَا مُحَمَّدٍ. Imam said, أُذْكُرْ تَقَطُعَ أَوْصَالِكَ فِي قَبْرِكَ. Remember the time that you are put in the grave and the joints of your body are separated. وَرُّجُوءَ أَحِبَّائِكَ عَنْكَ إِذَا دَفَنُوكَ فِي حُفْرَتِكَ. And your dear ones have put you in the grave and now they are going back to their homes. وَخُرُوجَ بَنَاتِ الْمَا مِن مَنْخِرَتِكَ وَأَكْلَ الدُّودِ لَحْمَكَ. And your body is eaten, is corrupted. Remember this. If you really remember that, then do you feel that, why, you know, they didn't treat me, you know, nice, why my, you know, salary is not high, why I don't know, I don't have the best husband or wife, everything becomes insignificant. But when you think that you are in dunya and you think that you are going to be here for thousands of years, then every little thing becomes important. But if you think that this is just for a short period of time and your main concern is something else, then all these things become insignificant. So he says that Imam alayhi salam said, If you remember this, فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يُسَلِّي يُسَلِّي بِتْسِن not صَات from تَسْلِيَة means it will comfort. يُسَلِّي عَنْكَ مَا أَنْتَ فِيهِ it will comfort you. قَالَ أَبُو بَصِيرٍ فَوَاللَّهِ مَا ذَكَرْتُهُ إِلَّا سَلَّى عَنِّي مَا أَنَا فِيهِ مِنْ حَمَّ الدُّنْيَا by Allah, I never after that remember death and my situation in the grave, except all these concerns and grief for dunya went away from me. This is the alchemy. This is kimya. Look at this beautiful hadith. Again, Imam Sadiq, Imam Baqir alayhi salam again says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله Al-Maut, Al-Maut. Remember death, remember death. Ala wa la budda min al-Maut. There is no way to avoid death. Then Rasulullah said something very important. He said, Iza istahaqqat vilayatullah wa sa'adah. When a person is able to be under the guardianship of Allah, when a person achieves the wilayah of Allah and felicity and happiness, sa'adah, what happens? Ja'a al-ajal bayn al-aynayn. He would always think of his death. A wali of Allah, a person who is under the wilayah of Allah, a person who is able to have sa'ada is the one that he is always seeing in front of himself his death. وَذَهَبَ الْأَمَلُ وَرَاءَ الذَّهْرِ And all the unrealistic desires and wishes will go behind. وَإِذَا اسْتُحِقَّتْ وِلَايَةُ الشَّيْطَانِ وَالشَّقَاوَ But when the wilayah of shaitan is fixed and when misfortune is fixed, جَاءَ الْأَمَلُ بَيْنَ الْعَيْنَيْنِ وَذَهَبَ الْأَجَلُ وَرَاءَ الذَّهْرِ It's opposite. He is only thinking about unrealistic dreams and desires and wishes. I should, you know, reach this. I don't know. Position in my career, I don't reach this with my money and so on and so forth. No, maybe he's dying, but still thinking, for example, of making, you know, big success. This can even happen to some ulama. Maybe he's dying, but he's working for example, becoming marja, or for example, for having more followers. This can happen to everyone. We are not safe and immune. This can happen to business people, this can be to ulama, this can happen to teachers, this can happen to, I don't know, people who have just concern for their family and relatives and tribes, for politicians, everyone, depending on their situation. So Rasulullah says, if you want to see whether the wilayah of Allah has been achieved and fixed for you, see whether you are always conscious of your death or not. There is no way to act properly and to remember Allah if you forget your death. Then Imam says, Rasulullah was asked a question. قَالَ وَسُّئِلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ Maybe in another incident. O Rasulullah, ayyul mu'minin akyas. Kiyasa means cleverness. O Rasulullah, which mu'min is more clever? Okay? If you want to see who is more clever, who is more intelligent, then Rasulullah gives you the answer. فَقَالَ أَكْثَرُهُمْ ذِكْرًا لِلْمَوْتِ وَأَشَدُّهُمْ لَهُ إِسْتِعْدَادًا The one who remembers his death more often And the one who prepares himself for his death more than others, he is more clever. So we have our own way of measuring cleverness. IQ tests cannot always tell you who is more clever. Many of the people who have high, I don't know, IQ, these are sometimes people who spread mischief. Muawiyah had very high IQ. But Amir al-Mu'mineen says, Wallahi ma Muawiyah ba'adha minni. He's not more clever than me. Tilka nakra. That's shaitana, nakra. If you want to understand who is more clever, don't look at IQ or qualifications or worldly achievements. The one who is more clever is the one that uses every moment in order to gain something for his or her eternal journey. Remembers his death more. A person went to a person had a meeting with Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and he was mourning for his child. His son had just passed away, and he was mourning and was in a very difficult situation. So maybe he was overwhelmed with the grief and sorrow. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam told him, جزعت للمصيبة الصغرى وغفلت عن المصيبة الكبرى. It's a tragedy, for sure. When you lose your child, it's a tragedy. But it seems that you are in great grief now, more than what is expected, because you have forgotten a greater tragedy. If you were conscious of your own death and you were prepared for your own departure, now you would not mourn that much, because he has just gone ahead of you and you know that you are going to join him very soon. It seems that you think death is end of everything and preparation for death is absent in your planning. So this is why you mourn too much. لو كنت لما صار إليه ولدك مستعدا. If you were yourself prepared for what your son has gone through, لمشتد عليه جزعك. You were not lamenting too much. فمصابك بتركك الاستعداد أعظم من مصابك بولدك. So your tragedy for not being prepared for your death is greater than your tragedy for losing your son. So it's a great tragedy, a great calamity, if we are not prepared for our death. And I only mention one more hadith. There are many, but I mention only one. And inshallah, if you are interested, you can refer to Wasa'il al-Shia. There are actually two chapters about remembrance of death. This hadith is from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And it's warning all of us how much you should be prepared and how much you should remember death if you want to measure yourself. أمير المؤمنين says, ما أنزل الموت حق منزلته. No one has put death in its right position. No one has been conscious enough and prepared enough for death unless he has done this. Okay, so you can measure yourself. ما أنزل الموت حق منزلته من عد غدا من أجله. The one who thinks that tomorrow I am alive. If you just take for granted that you have another day, so it means that you have not taken this seriously. Who said you are going to be there tomorrow? Those who are thinking and prepared for any moment, being surprised, or actually these people are not surprised, being faced with death, they have had good regard for death. Any moment, death can come. But if you say, at least I have 24 hours, this means that you have not taken death seriously. And many of us, we think, at least I have few decades. I see people dying 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, but I think I'm going to be 90 years. I don't know why everyone thinks he's an exception. If other people are dying, I think I am exception. Who has given you this guarantee? This is one of the ways that our nafs and shaitan are deceiving us. Okay? You can easily find that this is false, that I think I am not to be like them. I am going to be for a long time here. So, if you think that any minute, any moment you can die and you are prepared for this, this means that you have had sufficient regard and respect and preparation for death. So, these are just some hadiths about the significance of remembrance of death. And now we can understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran very much talks about death and about the hereafter. More than one third of the Quran is about the next world. More than one third. About death, about barzakh, about qiyamah, about hell and heaven. Because we cannot understand the proper direction in life unless we know that first there is deadline, and second, whatever we do is just in order to be able to see the outcomes in the hereafter. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. If a farmer forgets that he has a limited time for planting the seeds, and when everyone is planting the seed, this farmer goes to holiday. Okay, then when people harvest, he has nothing. He has to die starving. If a student forgets that there is exam and just plays, then when everyone is getting results, he would fail. So it's very important to remember death. I mentioned only one ayah, and inshallah, then I mention one story and I finish. And we continue this discussion, inshallah, tomorrow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran about the people who constantly remember him. In the Surah An-Nur, which is something very important, inshallah, maybe sometime we should discuss this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people who constantly remember him, يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ رِجَالٌ لَا تُرْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ. Then he mentions the secret. He says there are people that nothing make them forget Allah. Nothing make them forget establishing salat as a case of remembrance. Ita'a zakah, giving alms as a case of remembrance. What is the secret? How they manage to constantly remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He himself explains. After saying, La tulhihim tijaratun wa la bay'un an dhikrillah wa iqam as-salah wa ita'a zakah, he says, Yakhafuna yawman. تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. They have fear of the day in which eyes and hearts will be transformed. They have prepared themselves for that. So because they remember death, then they remember that they should not be attached to dunya, and they put themselves in the right position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with people. Not only they pray, they also give zakat. If you are in the right position, your relation with Allah and your relation with everyone and everything will be sorted out. There is a story that Ayatollah Allama Muhammad Taqi Ja'fari Rahmatullah Alayh mentions. You know, he has also passed away, one of our great ulama, and he has many books. He has commentary on Nahjul Balagha, and it's one of the best commentary on Nahjul Balagha. He has commentary on Masnavi. He has many books. He says, when I was a talabe in Najaf, 2 days before Muharram, I went to my teacher to take lesson. Who was his teacher? His teacher was Sheikh Murtaza Taliqani, a very pious alim who was till end of his life in madrasa. He didn't marry. Of course, I don't encourage people not to marry, but sometimes maybe that's the option for you. So he didn't marry till end of his life. He was always with talaba in a school. And he was the teacher of Ayatollah Muhammad Taqi Ja'fari. So he says, 2 days before Muharram, I went to him to take lesson. I saw no one else is there. And Aga told me, Dars tamam shud. Lesson is finished. Lectures are finished. He says, I thought Aga means that because of Muharram, because in Muharram they stop, you know, teaching. So he said, I thought Aga means that's Muharram. I told him, still we have 2 days. Aga said, I told you, Dars tamam shud. I didn't say it's Muharram. It means that I am no longer going to teach. And he said something which, you know, was a kind of humble, you know, statement about himself. He said, خر طالقان رفته پالانش مانده. He said, the donkey from Taliqan has gone. It's only the sandal that you see. It means that my soul is not here. You see just my body. So he says, I realized that he's informing me about his death. And he says, he had no sign of illness. And everyone knew that he was quite fit. But he was aware of his death. So he says, I told him, please give me an advice. I realized that he is soon going to die, and I asked him for advice. So he said, La ilaha illallah. And he says, he gave me this advice in a couplet, that as long as your hand reaches you, that means as long as you are able, as long as you can function, do something. Because a time would come that you are not able to do anything. You know, for us the most, you know, maybe obvious thing and easiest thing is to move our hand. Yeah? If a person cannot do anything in the world, at least he can move his hand. At least we can speak. But we have to believe that a time comes that we cannot even move our hand. We cannot even speak. So Sheikh Murtaza Taliqani told him, as long as you have opportunity, do something. Because then a time would come that you cannot do anything. So he says, I went to kiss him and I felt his tears on my cheek. Then on the first of Muharram, so this was two days before Muharram. He says, on first of Muharram in our madrasa, an alim came to give lecture for Muharram. And he just said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and the introduction, and said, Sheikh Murtaza Taliqani has passed away. So he says, I asked the students in his madrasa, How was Aga? They said he was normal. Like every other night, 1 hour before Adhan, he went to the roof. He used to go to the roof and very quietly do for himself some munajat. So this day also, like normal, he went 1 hour before Fajr to the roof. He did his munajat. When the time of Fajr came, like normal, he went to his room. He said his Salatul Fajr. Then we were expecting him that after sunrise, he comes out. But he didn't come out. And he passed away. This is the situation of the people who are prepared. And for them, first of all, to know about their exact time of death is not making any difference. But still they know. Still they know. If we want to be able to have a life of remembrance of Allah, a life of piety, a life of peace and tranquility, a life that you don't worry, you don't go through stress, one important factor is to be always thinking about your death, so that any moment you are ready for your death. If you are ready for your death at any moment, then I can guarantee you that 99% of your problems in life will disappear. You would see, alhamdulillah, I have very good family. Alhamdulillah, I have very good job. Alhamdulillah, my community is good. Everyone is kind. This is dunya on which we fight. When there is no attachment to dunya, why we should fight? So I hope, inshallah, Allah will give us the tawfiq and blessing, inshallah, to experience this life and keep it and maintain it. Tonight we are remembering the lady Zainab, salamullah alayha. And of course, we cannot remember Imam Hussein without remembering Lady Zainab. She is the one that from childhood was always with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. There was a special relation, connection between this brother and sister. And if even for few days Imam Hussein was not seeing Lady Zainab, was not feeling good. And if Lady Zainab was not seeing Imam Hussein, was not feeling good. And even in the time of marriage with Abdullah ibn Ja'far, the lady made this condition that I should be given permission that I would be with Hussein. I cannot be away from Hussein. The lady was in Medina. As you know, they were born in Medina, grew up in Medina. They saw the life of the Prophet. They saw the demise of Lady Fatima. They experienced all those 25 years of difficulties after the Prophet. But the good thing was that Imam Ali was there, Imam Hassan was there, Imam Hussein was there, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was there. Then they had to leave Medina for Kufa. When Amir al-Mu'minin became Khalifa, then he moved the capital to Kufa in order to be prepared for defending against the enemies. So leaving Medina was difficult. And then the lady came back to Medina in the year 41 after the martyrdom of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. When Amir al-Mu'minin was killed, then they all went back to Medina. So this was one return to Medina. Of course, it was a great tragedy to lose Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, but at least Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Hazrat Abu al-Fazl, they were all there for the lady. But then when for the second time Lady Zainab Salamullah alayha left Medina, it was much more difficult. knowing that this is the last time she would have Hussein with her in Medina, knowing that it's not going to have any opportunity to be back to Medina with Hussein, with Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas. And when they returned back after the tragedy of Karbala and going to Sham, then the lady Zainab Salamullah alayha went to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And informed Rasulullah about what happened to them, how they killed Hussein alayhi salam brutally, how they killed Ali Akbar, Ali Asghar, her own children. The people of Medina were surprised to see how Zainab is capable of still being alive without Hussein, because everyone was thinking that if even for illness or for something Hussein dies, Zainab is going to die. It's impossible for Zainab to remain. But how great was this lady that saw all the tragedies, saw the killing of Imam Hussein, saw the body of Hussein, saw the head of Imam and the spears, saw her children's martyrdom, saw Ali Akbar, Ali Asghar, everyone, and she still remained patient. Even in the night after Ashura, that must be a time that she must be completely exhausted and she must have no energy in her body. Still, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam saw that she is doing Salatul Layl. This is the remembrance of Allah that gives this lady this energy and this capacity. And also it is said that Imam Hussein alayhi salam said to Lady Zainab, remember me in your Salatul Layl. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability, inshallah, to do tahajjud and be from the people who are mustaghfirina bil ashar. We offer our condolences to Imam Zaman, and inshallah, with your permission, I just read a few poems giving our condolences to Imam Zaman for this demise of Lady. Indeed, Imam Zaman alayhi salam is Sahib Aza. And all these majalis, if they are done sincerely and honestly, they belong to Imam Zaman. I hope, inshallah, our majlis is accepted. Sahib Aza Kujai. صاحب عزا کجایی گویم سرت سلامت کی می شود بیایی گویم سرت سلامت او امام زمان where are you? When I would be able to see you in the majlis of Hussein and Zainab and come to you and offer my condolences to you. Ey Aftab Zahra, Kay Sham Tar Ghamra, چون صبح دم نمایی گویم سرت سلامت. O the son of Lady Fatima, when you would come and bring light to this dark night of dunya, کی می شود بیایی در صبح آشنایی ای جلوه خدایی گویم سرت سلامت. When the morning of meeting you, when my day started with meeting you and I can come to you and offer my condolences to you. در ماتم عزای کرب و بلا نشستی
ای یار کربلایی گویم سرت سلامت، او امام زمان، وی نو دت یو مورن فور اس، وی نو دت یو کرای فور اس، وی نو دت بلاد کامز این سد اف تیرز فرام یور آیز فور اس. I wish I was able to come to you and say my condolences to you. از دید خون فشانی در ماتم حسینت، امشب بگو کجایی گویم سرت سلامت. I know that the way you mourn for Hussein is different. The way you cry is different. Because all the tragic events are in front of your eyes. You can see the pain of Zainab. You can see the loneliness of Zainab. You can see how they took Zainab as a seed. الله لعنة الله على القوم.